Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
My next guest, Brett McMurphy, he's got his finger in the pulse of college football, America's college football insider, works for the Stadium Network. Great follow on Twitter, at Brett_McMurphy. Give him a follow. He's joining us now. How are you, man?
Hey, good to talk to you, John. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah, I've been following you. I think you're a tremendous follow during these times, too, because you are across the spectrum, following all the developments in college football. What are your takeaways lately? I saw you tweet this morning something about you don't think college football is going to start on time. I'm with you on that, but what makes you say that?
They're already moving back to fall seasons for a number of these Power Five conferences in the non-revenue sports, which obviously there's a lot less moving parts, if you will. To play a sport that has one fifth as many participants, and so I just think that's the reason why the Big Ten and the Pac-12 went to conference only, and the same reason I think ACC, Big 12, and SEC will go to either conference only or maybe conference only plus one non-conference is to move the season back a couple of weeks and also be able to build in possibly a couple of extra dates in case you've got some, outbreaks during the season where you have to cancel or postpone games, and that gives you options for, 2-week quarantines or makeup dates or a bunch of different things we never thought we'd see happen with the football schedule. But the most telling thing was what the NCAA put out, the past couple of days is their graph of, this is where we were when we started talking about bringing back fall sports, and this is where we are now, and this is where we thought we would be. And if you see the graph, it's where they thought they would be now and where we are right now are huge, huge gaps, and they're going in the wrong direction. And so I think that's ultimately what happens. And also just the cancellation of a lot of these other leagues. Certainly none in the FBS yet, but certainly you see a lot of the FCS level leagues have shut it down. And so I think if we're able to get in a season, that would be a small miracle, but I certainly think it will be delayed. We're supposed to start August 29th. I think that's the last Saturday in August. There's no way that's going to happen. So hopefully we can get started in mid-September and try to get some games in somehow, some way.
Brett McMurphy with us, Stadium Network. I saw your tweet about an hour ago about Notre Dame. They tested 103 student athletes. They had no positive tests. That's good. They must be doing something right there. Meanwhile, Indiana University just a couple days ago shut down their voluntary workouts because they had 6 players test positively. Is it too much to say Indiana's doing something wrong, Notre Dame's doing something right? Or what do you draw when you get data, and you see sort of the bigger picture?
Yeah, just read my mentions if you want to figure out who's doing it right. Look, John, there's no rhyme or reason. It is fascinating, and you mentioned I do try to get as much information on my Twitter feed as I can, and I present the good, the bad, the ugly. I'm just presenting the information that I have. So I've got no agenda that I am trying to make this happen or that happen. I'm just look, this school's, this is what the reporting. They have some good results, and here's another school, and this is what they're reporting, and it's not so good. So it is kind of weird where you see different schools have different numbers. And I don't think, I haven't, put them on a map and laid it out and said, oh, okay, it's this region of the country that's doing really bad, and this region's doing really good. You know, there's numbers like that that look at the states, but as far as the individual schools, you know, I don't know if they're doing something right or another school's doing something wrong, or perhaps they got their some schools have already got their positive test out of the way, and so they're trending better now. But it is kind of fascinating where you see different schools, you know, literally had one or two out of maybe 300 or 400 that have tested positive, and then you see other schools and you've got it at 10 or 12% rate of positive test.
HBO's Real Sports on Tuesday is going to put out a piece that sort of looks at what, you know, the college football landscape and gets some player reaction. I noticed you tweeted a little bit about that. Did you get an advanced copy of it? If so, what did you think?
Yeah, I saw the advanced copy. I mean, there's nothing like that. A gotcha, like, oh wow, I didn't realize that. But it is, you know, it is kind of telling when you kind of, you know, you see these quotes float through your Twitter feed, you know, and you see them and you kind of almost become numb to them. So kind of seeing somebody on video and talk about it, and, you know, Chris Hinton, who's, you know, former NFL player, got one son at Michigan and one at Stanford that are playing, and him and his wife kind of created this organization to try to get more information for the parents of student athletes on how they're going to do testing and stuff and so forth and so on. And again, it's, look, I want college football to be played, you know, but obviously it's got to be safe for the student athletes. And it's just, it's not this simple, but, you know, in one part of the show, he says, you know, look, if it's not safe for the professors to come back on campus now, then why are they bringing back the student athletes? And I mean, that's a pretty basic question. And I don't know I'm not going to pretend I know the answer to that. Certainly they have to start working out now. You could argue, well, the professors don't need to be back on campus now. But basically these campuses, for the most part, have been shut down during the summer, except for the student athletes coming back. I'm not saying that's right. I'm just not saying that's wrong. But it is kind of telling when you hear them say that, and then, you know, Chris Hinton, you know, mentioned, you just look at the statistics, and there's probably going to be a player die. And maybe that's 100% wrong. Maybe it turns out to be right. But, again, just based on the statistics, that would seem right. And he's like, is that what it's going to take? You know, John Gaines, offensive lineman at UCLA, you know, talked about how their football players there are not comfortable having the university determine the testing protocol for the school because they know how much the school's dependent on the money and they want an independent source to kind of do those tests. And, you know, they have that right. But, you know, it's about a 13-14 minute piece, and they also talked to SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey, who, you know, depending on what side of the fence you're on, they ask him specifically, how many positive tests have you had at each of the 14 SEC universities? And he says, I'm not going to give you that information. That needs to come from the individual schools. And the reporter follows it up with, well, if you're in this for the health and safety of the student athletes, wouldn't you make that information public? And Sankey kind of says, well, you know, as you have the right to answer that question, I have the right not to answer that question. So you can kind of read into that whatever you wish if you're a fan of the SEC or you're not. But it was, you know, it's kind of a nice little recap of where we are right now. It certainly doesn't answer any great questions, but it just kind of puts in kind of a new light or refreshes kind of what we've heard over the past few months.
Brett McMurphy with us, Stadium Network. He is the college football insider. You should follow him on Twitter. Brett, I guess it's not surprising that we're watching college athletic departments sort of cringe at the idea that if they don't have football, they're going to lose $40 or $60 million or $70 million, 75% of their athletic department revenue. I guess, though, it's, you know, the rest of us could sit back and kind of shake our heads and go, look, you weren't fiscally responsible. Do you think there'll be a correction with spending? Will coaching salaries start to be curbed a little bit? Will they try to be more responsible in planning for, you know, could this be an ongoing thing or the next pandemic?
You know, I've heard that. And look, we can look at salaries and say, you know, hey, maybe these guys shouldn't make this much or whatever. But I look at it this way. Nick Saban makes, I don't know, $6-7, maybe he's up to $8 million now, $1 million a year. Is that a large amount of money? Absolutely. You know what? He's underpaid. He should probably make at least twice that much, or maybe three times that much, because what his value is to the University of Alabama. He's brought, arguably, you know, dozens and dozens of millions of dollars of revenue to that school in new enrollment, in advertising and promotions, and building of facilities, and on and on and on. So I think if you just sit there and say, well, this guy makes $5 million, $6 million, $7 million, he's way overpaid, I don't think that's fair or accurate, because you have to look at his worth to the university. Certainly every school is not Alabama and not Nick Saban. The other thing is, you know, look, no matter what business you're in, college athletics, a bagel shop, a donut shop, digging ditches, whatever, if you've got a steady income for the past 50 years, and you can sit there and say, okay, this year we're going to make X amount of money on college football revenue because we've got a TV deal and our attendance is averages this much, and we've got donations this much, and it may fluctuate 10% either way. We've got a pretty good idea. We're going to hit, you know, 60, 70, 80 million, whatever that number is. And then you find out 5 months before the season, hey, guys, look, we may have zero this year. There's no business that would be able to survive that. And so that's kind of the situation these colleges are in. There's no CFO on the face of the earth that would sit there figuring out their budgets 5 years ago would have said, hey, guys, you know what? We need to squirrel away $50 million, $60 million, $70 million because in 2020 we're not going to have a football season and we're going to have to need some for a rainy day. So I understand the criticism. Look, we don't need waterfalls at football facilities. Do we really need mini golf courses at football facilities and all that stuff? That's a valid point. But, look at the overall scope of it, and there's nobody, you know, you, I, the people that are listening, you know, you, if you've got a steady job, you're planning stuff out. You're paying for stuff because you plan on having that money coming in every other week, whatever it is. So if, unfortunately, something happens, you get laid off, you lose your job or whatever, it's kind of a similar situation to how we are now. And look, we've already seen a large number of cuts. As you know, Stanford cut 11 non-revenue sports. That was based on the losing the NCAA men's basketball revenue and just the COVID impact of the financial implications of COVID. Now, if we don't have a football season at all, or we have an abbreviated football season, it looks like we're not going to get more than maybe a fourth stadium capacity around the country. Rutgers today announced because of their governor they will have no fans in the stands, which I know, cue your joke about Rutgers having no fans in the stands. But that's where we're at now. So if that happens, then look at how drastic these changes are going to be. In the past few months, I've talked to, you know, reached out to all 130 athletic directors on the FBS level about a variety of topics. And this one quote from an AD back in April still sticks with me. I said, what happens if we don't have football at all in the 2021 academic year? And he goes, Brad, it's simple. We're all bleeped. And he wasn't trying to be funny, but he was being very honest. And if we don't have any revenue for college football in 2021, you're going to see group of five schools either drop football or drop to the FCS level. And you could see schools at the Power Five level that have to probably eliminate some non-revenue sports similar to what Stanford did.
Brett McMurphy, Stadium Network, is with us. The college football playoff, Bill Hancock came out today saying, look, he believes football is going to be played. I think that's what you say until there's no football. But what happens to the playoff if one or more of the Power Fives say, we're going to the spring, or the SEC says, no, we're staying right here, we're going to play this thing, but we're going to start it in October? And what happens to the playoff in your mind?
Well, if there's a will, there's a way. They will have a playoff. I don't think, you know, look, anything could happen. You know, I would be shocked if one conference, whether it's the SEC, whether it's the Pac-12, or it's the Big Ten, whatever, pick any conference you want. I would be shocked if one conference plays in the fall and the other nine FBS conferences say, look, we can't play, we're going to move it to the spring. Because if it's not safe for those other nine conferences, I don't see how in the world one conference is going to go ahead and play. I understand the financial implications. So I think all of them won't play. I think they're making those decisions independently. But I just don't see how one would be, because look, all the conferences now, you've got conferences that have teams, you know, we'll pick a state any state in the country, and the majority of them have teams in multiple conferences. Maybe Oregon's an exception. But, you know, so if you have one conference that would be playing and another not playing, I find that hard to believe. But if they do play, even with the reduced schedule, even if we're down to 8, 9 games, whatever, and we can have a playoff, absolutely they'll have one because the money is so critical. And, look, you know, I hope you can have me on in a few months and we're sitting here, you know, complaining about how Team A shouldn't be in the playoff contention because they don't play anybody on their schedule. I would love it. Because that means we're going to have football. So they'll figure out a way to do it. It's just if everybody's in a conference-only schedule, there's literally no way to compare conferences based on any head-to-head because there won't be any head-to-head other than who you face in the conference.
Tough task. Brett McMurphy, follow him on Twitter, @Brett_McMurphy. Brett, thank you for making time for us. I know you're busy.
Hey, thanks, John. Take care, buddy.
All right, there he is from the Stadium Network, Brett McMurphy. I think it'd be really interesting with four teams making the playoffs. If there's no non-conference games, if there's no conference championship games, you've got a playoff committee of 13 individuals, 6 of whom are serving in their last year on the committee, by the way, who are going to have to pick the four participants with no head-to-heads potentially available and no conference championship games. It's tricky. Leave it here. You got the bald-faced truth. Golden Oak Lending. Go to goldenoaklending.com if you would like to refinance your house. Take that free mortgage checkup. Take advantage of it. Interest rates are low. You can take some cash out, pay off your credit card bills. You can lower your monthly payment. You could shorten the term of your loan. You owe it to yourself and your family to get that free mortgage checkup. There's no risk to it. Golden Oak Lending's not going to take your credit card. They're not going to charge you for an appraisal unless they close the loan. They're different in that way than some of the banks. You can go to goldenoaklending.com, take advantage of those low interest rates. And by the way, if you refinance with Golden Oak Lending, you're looking at a couple of months with no mortgage payment. That's relief in itself. Take advantage. That's your equity in the house. Golden Oak Lending will remind you of that. But they'll take a look at your mortgage. They'll give you the mortgage checkup. They'll look at your rate. They'll look at your term. They'll tell you what they can do for you at goldenoaklending.com. All right. 2 o'clock hours ahead. I thought Brett McMurphy was sensational. I thought Aaron Fentress was interesting. He's always interesting. I think the 2 o'clock hour is going to be on fire because Anna's going to be part of it. It's always interesting. We got a lot to talk about. We've not been on air in more than a week with Anna and I talking. And I was reminded as we were in the car driving into Central Oregon and having conversations as we were all in and around different lakes and rivers and seeing this great state, I was reminded that like I enjoy those conversations. I enjoy, like, we don't listen to music when we drive. Do you guys listen to music when you're driving in the car with other people, or do you just talk?
I tend to like the music. My parents have been talkers on road trips, so I don't tend to do that.
Yeah, and our 17-year-old is in the back seat with her earphones in. But we were talking. That's the important thing. We'll continue that conversation coming up in the 2 o'clock hour. Plus, we'll talk about Taco Bell, In-N-Out Burger, all those important things on the show. Plus, more college.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald-Faced Truth.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald-Faced Truth radio show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald-Faced Truth radio show. Thanks for listening.